Joining us now on the line, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, a CIA-trained former senior intelligence officer and author of the New York Times best-selling Operation Dark Heart. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me. Good to be on.
This town is buzzing. It's buzzing. It's never ending.
Big time buzzing.
There's all kind of buzzing. Yeah, it's all kind of buzzing going on because we are now going to have a special counsel who will look into the Russia matter, and we have Comey, who has apparently memorialized a lot of conversations, and he's supposed to testify. Okay, so what is going to happen here, and what do you think about this idea of a special counsel?
Well, I think it's I don't think it's the best idea. I mean, to quote my friend Joe DeGeneva, and you probably talked to him, look, they've got 96 U.S. attorneys. It's hard to believe they couldn't find one who's actually competent. They could set aside and say, your job is to do nothing but figure this all out. So it does not speak well of the Justice Department. And Brian.
And truthfully, Joe DeGeneva seemed to be okay when we talked to him earlier this morning about this idea of Bob Mueller being the special counsel.
Well, I'm glad he does, because I have my apprehension, because I've worked at the FBI during the time he was over there doing some things to help them, and he wasn't always the best director, and I think some of the workforce was reluctant to actually chip in. And I was just talking to my friend, Congressman Louis Gohmert. Louis and I share concerns about the FBI's lack of focus on going after the CARE as an unindicted co-conspirator of the Holy Land Foundation trial that all happened under Mueller. So there's some concerns that he's not been the most aggressive in, you know, going after what I believe and others believe to be, you know, real crime. So this is going to be an interesting point. And the second thing I'm worried about, Brian, and I think everybody in the D.C. area would share this, is that what about the Clintons? Okay, you're saying you're going to look into the Russia issue, but as far as I can tell, the most direct link I've seen between anybody and the Russians is John and Tony Podesta, who actually had a direct relationship with a Russian bank. So to me, that should be one of the first things looked at.
Well, and that was going to be my question to you, is that he does have the right to investigate other things. I mean, this is a very, very broad charge that he was given when he was appointed. If you say he's not aggressive, will he go into these other areas? I mean, he's supposed to be looking at Russian interference. Will he take that broadly, number one, and go into Podesta and the Clintons and see where all of that goes? And what about the unmasking? Will he go there? If he's not aggressive, maybe he won't.
Well, Mary, you and I, we've all spoken before on the air about the unmasking, and to me, that's job one. I mean, look, one of the issues that got Comey fired rightfully was his lack of interest in actually investigating real federal crimes regarding Title 18 violations of the leakers. And let me tell you, Mary, a bunch of us on the inside here kind of know who those people are at this point, and we're just kind of all appalled that they're still walking around with no cuffs on. So that is definitely one of the things that needs to be looked at. Secondly, to your point about the wider expanse of the investigation, I'd like to believe that he will have the intelligence to do that. I know for a fact, again, people like Louis Gohmert, Congressman Gohmert, are going to encourage that, looking into the areas that need to be examined. But again, we don't know this at this point in time, and I don't know if anybody's actually sat down to speak with him about his game plan. I mean, he was only appointed yesterday, so it's going to probably take about 3 days before the leak started about what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Tony, as much as I respect you, I categorically disagree with you on this. I think this guy has a reputation of being a straight shooter. He'll go off in his corner. He'll do his investigation. Things will quieten down. And if there's no there, as the president suggests there is, then, you know, so what's the big deal? They're not going to find anything. However, how can you not do this investigation and notice the fact that a lot of the unmasking took place? How can you conduct an investigation like this and not look at the possibility of investigating where the leaks were coming from?
Right.
I think, as you say, that is knowable information, and I think he will get at that, and I don't think he will ignore it. I think this could actually turn out to be a really good thing.
Well, I hope so. I mean, Brian, I hope you and I are talking 6 months from now, and if you're right, I will come on the air and say, Brian, God bless you, you were completely correct.
Well, it happens so rarely, but I'd appreciate that. Thanks.
Well, we'll see. But I agree with you. I think the cornerstone of all this, you and I and Mary agree on, is the unmasking has to be one of the key issues which is examined, because everybody I've talked to, plus my own direct knowledge of how those sorts of things done, there's only a handful of people who could have done that, and we do know there were a handful of news outlets which received the information. This is not rocket science. This is not like putting men on the moon. This is simply trying to do basic investigative duties, which have not been done yet. So,
what do you think about the memos from Comey that were memorializations of conversations you had with the president regarding your friend Michael Flynn?
Well, I think that's one of the key issues that need to be examined. Look, Sally Yates and how she talked about all this and the quote-unquote blackmail issue is complete hogwash. We as intelligence officers talk to foreign individuals constantly. And so I don't think Mike Flynn thought for a minute about anything different regarding his talk with the ambassador. And so for her to say that and for the unmasking to have occurred, you had to have some level, high level justification. And again, Brian, nothing I've seen so far indicates to me that there was a clear justification for him to be unmasked. So, again, I think this is something that clearly needs to be examined. And I think, again, if you and I would agree that Mueller should be looking at this issue regarding how this information was first off obtained. Was it obtained legally with due process and proper authority? And then, for goodness sake, how was it leaked and why? And those are the things which he should be definitely looking at immediately.
And as far as looking at these things, listen, this is a very small world. There's very few people who operate in this world. Comey and Mueller know each other. They've worked together. You know, when you talk about this memo, I keep going back to Comey's testimony on May 3rd, where he said to Congress, to the Investigations Committee, that there have been no attempts to impede the investigation. Yet this memo, if it exists, tends to negate that. And Comey has not come out to say, hey, that I know nothing about that memo. He has not stepped forward to say that that memo was wrong or any of the New York Times story is false. We've heard nothing from him. So both can't be true. And if the memo is true, Comey perjured himself. Will Mueller have the guts to go there?
Well, he's going to have to. I mean, that's too obvious to leave on the table. And to your point, Mary, I mean, look, nobody knows exactly when that memo was written. Was it written outside when Comey was going out the door? I mean, this is where this has been journalistic insanity, where they've not been willing to actually go down that path. I mean, Mary, would you take my word, as much as you probably would believe I may be telling you the truth, would you take my word if I read a memo to you on the phone and said, hey, you need to run with this? I don't think so. You would want verification. You want a copy of the memo. You want to know all the interrogatories. I don't know how the New York Times, the Washington Post can get away with publishing information based on a conversation. It's totally insane.
Well, on that point, you and I are absolutely in sync. Yeah. I've got real issues with the way reporters have been conducting their business the last week or so. So many times we have wake. There's a lot of days that about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd see some story come down. I'd say, well, if that's true, that's very bad. But then, you know, in about 24 hours, we found out none of it was true.
Right.
Well, listen, Tony, thank you so much. Great to have you.
Great talking
to
you.
Thanks, Mary.